You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Well, what's good, Bethel? How y'all doing? Indeed. Any more Denzel Washington fans out there? Am I the only one up in this room? Come on. That's good. That's good. So, as a little beautiful slideshow said, I have four little ones. And the ages of my four kids are 8, 6, 5, and 3. And just found out this week that just because you came to the Deeper Life series, here's an opportunity for you from Bethel University. They're giving away free college credits to babysit my kids. So, it's only a couple slots available, so sign up in the back on the way out when you leave, if you can find it. So good to be with you all this Friday. And just to open up God's word with you. So if you have your Bible, would you turn to John chapter 16? And I'm going to open up the same way I open up every week at Redemption City Church, which is my home church. I open up the same way every week. Before I read God's word, I will say to the congregation, you have heard many things this past week, many ideas, many opinions, many thoughts. But now hear the word of God. And I do that every week because we hear a lot of things throughout the week, Bethel. We hear a lot of opinions, a lot of thoughts. We see a lot of posts. We have a lot of whisperings in our ears. And if we're not careful, we will come to the Word of God and just think that the Word of God is on par with every other opinion or post that is out there, and that is the furthest from the truth. Every other thing must submit itself to the Word of God. And so now, before I read God's word, let me say to you, you have heard a lot of things, I'm sure, this past week. A lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas. But now, Bethel, hear the word of God from John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. Let's ask the Lord for his help as we open up his word this morning. Indeed, Lord, every time we open up your word, your eternal word, your perfect word, your word that is without error, we need your help. Because, oh Lord, there are lesser things that are vying for our attention even right now. Thoughts of the next hour, thoughts of the weekend, distractions in our minds. Oh Christ, we need you to be greater. We need you to be sweeter. We need you to be more beautiful than anything that would seek to occupy our mind's eye right now, oh Lord, and you take the space. And you are able. And so we ask that you would do it again. Right here in our midst, we pray. In the only name that we can pray, that is the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Well, if you are an A student at Bethel, you're going to be taking notes during this small chapel service. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. 3 points, and the points are this: as we talk about what it means to walk a Spirit-filled life. What does it mean for a Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit? Let me give you 3 points to help guide our time this morning. The first point is this: the Spirit is a guide to Christ. The Spirit is a guide to Christ. The second point is the Spirit is a mouthpiece for Christ. The Spirit is a mouthpiece for Christ. And then the third point is the Spirit is a spotlight upon Christ. Spirit is a spotlight upon Christ. As we talk over the next few moments to talk about what it means to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, I tell you this morning, Bethel, that if you're asking for more of the Spirit in your life, what you are simply asking for is more of Jesus Christ. To flip it around, if you love Christ, if you desire Jesus Christ, if you submit to Christ, if you say, Lord, thank you for your sacrifice and atonement for my sins, if you desire to follow Christ all your days, then I say to you, you can be certain that the Spirit of God is at work in your life. First point from John chapter 16 is this. The Spirit is a guide to Christ. I love, like, right out the gate in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Scripture doesn't just call him, Christ doesn't just call him the Spirit, but he calls him the Spirit of truth. That is, brothers and sisters, that the Spirit is just that. The Spirit resides in truth. The Spirit does not operate in lies. You know, growing up, I would often hear people say, you know, I just feel like the Spirit is leading me to do X, Y, and Z. I just feel like the Spirit is telling me to do X, Y, and Z. And then right after that statement, if you've heard this before, sometimes right after that statement, they will say something that is completely contrary to the Word of God. And I'm like, man, that ain't the Spirit. It might be a spirit that's telling you to do that, but it's not the Spirit, because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Spirit will not deny the truth of the Word of God. And so right out the gate, Christ says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will not only be in truth, but He will guide us into all truth. Let me give this definition of guide. It simply is to guide or direct. And all you English people in the room are like, he used the word that he's defining in the definition. That's okay, whatever. To guide or direct, with the implication of making certain that people reach the appropriate destination. And saints, what is the destination? This statement by Christ that the Spirit will guide us into all truth cannot be separated from what Christ just said two chapters earlier. Two chapters earlier, Christ said in John chapter 14, in a well-known passage, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. So when Christ says now that the Spirit will come and will guide us into all truth, we have to understand that the Spirit is indeed taking us to a destination, but He's not taking us to a place, He's taking us to a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The Spirit, you know, he comes and He grabs us by the hand and He says, let me show you the most beautiful thing in all of the world. Let me present to you Jesus Christ. Love that. The role of the Spirit according to John 16, the role of the Spirit according to Jesus Christ is not to guide you to Himself. The role of the Spirit is to guide you to Jesus Christ, to come and carry you sometimes and lead you at other times directly to Jesus Christ. I love that at the, you know, the admin said that they're meeting some new students. I don't know if you, when you came to Bethel and you came for a campus tour, did anybody go on like a tour of the campus? Are there any campus guides, tour guides in the room? Anybody? Bless y'all ministry. Hey, what's up, y'all? Bless y'all ministry. So imagine you're coming to Bethel University, like, y'all, I'm so excited. I wanted to come to Bethel my whole entire life, or my parents made me. I want to be here. And they say, tell you what, we're going to take you on a tour at 10 a.m. We're going to guide you around campus, and we have a tour guide that's going to lead you, show you the dorm, show you the auditorium, show you the chapel. But imagine you get to this allocated time of being guided around campus, and the tour guide comes and says, you know what? You know I'm supposed to show you around Bethel, but you know, during this time, I thought I would just talk to you about myself. I thought I would just tell you about where I come from. Let me tell you my story. West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool, and all shooting some b-ball outside of school. Right, you would say that. Hey, y'all get that reference? Come on now. So, you would say to the tour guide, like, whoa, hold on. That's not your job. Your job is to show us the campus. And that's what John 16 is saying about the Holy Spirit. If we come in contact with the Holy Spirit isn't going to occupy our time saying, let me just tell you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like, no, let me take you to Jesus Christ. Let me guide you to your beautiful Savior. Let me show you all the wonders and the splendors of what Christ has done for you. He's a guide, and he leads us directly to Jesus Christ. So if the Spirit is doing his job rightly, which we know that he does, he's God. If he does his job perfectly, which we know he does, you will walk away from a movement of the Spirit with a deep love and deep desire for Jesus Christ, because he's guiding you there. Point two, Spirit is a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 13 and following, he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will declare to you what he has first heard. Love that. When I use the word mouthpiece, I simply mean a person that speaks on behalf of another person. Christ brings us, Bethel, into the glorious inner workings of the Trinity. Did you notice that? Like, the Father is talking to the Son, and there's this, like, glorious picture of the Spirit sort of divinely eavesdropping on the conversation. And the Spirit then takes what he hears, and he delivers it to you and I. We get to listen in on the conversation of the Trinity. We get to hear what God is talking about. So, beloved, we don't have to be in the room where it happens. We got some Hamilton folks in the room. I was going to ask y'all to sing it out, but we ain't got time for that. We only got like 2 hours left. So we don't have to be in the room where it happens. Why? Because the Spirit is going to communicate to us what he's hearing from the Father and the Son. It's this glorious, like, relay race of redemption. The Father comes to the Son, and he says, I need somebody to go and redeem my people. The Son is like, yes, I will do it. And so Christ comes, and he takes on flesh, and he lives a life that you and I couldn't live. It's a perfect life, all righteousness. He dies a death that you and I couldn't die. He absorbed all the wrath of God on our behalf, so that now when we come to the Father, there's no wrath of God left. And then the relay race isn't over. For now, we need a comforter. We need somebody to encourage us. And the Spirit takes the baton and he brings it to us. And now, beloved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and he constantly communicates to us the glorious work of redemption for you. What is the Spirit hearing? What is he listening in on? Well, we don't have to leave the book of John to understand what the Spirit is listening in on. In John chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, this glorious text, it says, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Y'all, I love that, because the Spirit is communicating to us. If we're asking for a movement of the Spirit in our lives, what we are asking the Spirit to do is remind us over and over again that Christ, our Savior, is full of grace. Not only is he full of grace, but it's grace on top of grace. It's like a double deluxe grace sandwich. Not sandwich, sandwich. It's the best with Miracle Whip, not mayo, ill. Who uses mayo on a sandwich? Right? Grace upon grace. What that says to you and I, beloved, if we understand what grace is that all of our sins for all time are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And just in case we forget that, John says it's not only just grace, it's grace upon grace. So the Spirit reminds us that when our sin, when our guilt, when our shame abounds, guess what? Grace comes and it overabounds. Get this, y'all. We, as God's people, as those who belong to Jesus Christ, we can never out-sin the grace of God. And that's good news. That's what the Spirit works in our heart and our life. He has to remind us again and again because we so often forget that. What is the Spirit listening in on? Well, to hear what he's listening in on, again, we don't have to leave the book of John. We can go to John 3:16, one of the most popular verses in all of Scripture for all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To ask for a movement of the Spirit of God in your heart, what you're asking for the Spirit to do, has come and remind you over and over again that God crucified his own son instead of you. That his son bore the wrath of God instead of you. That if, oh Lord, if you would count iniquities, who could stand before you? Nobody, nobody in this room. Our sins are too much. Our guilt is too much. But guess what? Christ took it all. And in the place of our guilt and our shame, we get the full righteousness of Jesus Christ. So now we stand before the Father and he looks at us and he cherishes us and he desires us. Why? Because we are covered in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Man, God would crucify his own son instead of us. That's a movement of the Spirit of God in our lives. If we're asking for a movement of the Spirit, we're like, Lord, please remind us over and over again that the death of Jesus Christ is sufficient for our past, present, and future sins. What is the Spirit listening in on? Well, man, we don't have to leave the book of John. I love this account in John chapter 8. There's this wonderful account of this woman who is caught in adultery, right? And all the religious leaders of the day, all the Pharisees are like, stone her, kill her. She's a sinner. She's caught in adultery. And then Jesus Christ steps on the scene and he says to them, hey, brothers, if any of y'all have never sinned, if y'all ain't got no sin, pick up a rock and throw it at her. That's my translation. That's how I view what happened that day. And then the text goes on. And it says so sweetly that one by one, these religious leaders start leaving. And I love how the text ends because it says that after they had left, there was left alone this woman who was caught in adultery and Jesus Christ. Like standing next to one another after everyone had left was this woman with her Savior. And that's a beautiful picture of us and our sin. Like the world would condemn us, our flesh would condemn us, even our own hearts, according to John, would condemn us. But Jesus Christ doesn't condemn us. He died for us. So at the end of the day, Bethel, like when everybody else is condemning us, we look to this woman who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8, and we say, hey, all the world can stand against us. We know that Jesus Christ is standing for us. And so Paul writes in Romans, and he says, now through Christ, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Like he's standing with us. He's standing for us. To ask for a movement of the Spirit in your life, to walk in the Spirit, is to be reminded time and time again that Christ Jesus saved us at our worst. He saved us when our sin was over our heads. Now there's nothing that we can do that will surprise Jesus Christ about us. There's no sin that we can commit that will catch Christ off guard. He died for all of them. And now, based upon his finished work, he stands with us. What is the Spirit, man, listening in on? We don't have to leave John, but if we do leave the book of John, we can go over to Peter. And Peter writes these marvelous words talking about the totality of Scripture. And he said that no prophecy was ever written by the will of man, but men, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, wrote these things. I love that. Like, all of the Scripture is ours. All of the Scripture is written by the Spirit. All of the Scripture is from God. We don't just take the red letter parts of the Scripture. No, we take all of the Scripture. It's ours in Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit moves in our lives, not only does he remind us, but he takes us to the source of those reminders, and that is the work of God through his word. Point number three. Spirit is a spotlight on Christ. Spirit's job isn't over, y'all. Like, he guides us to Christ. He speaks on behalf of Christ. And then he takes this gigantic spotlight and he puts it directly on Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 14, it says, he will glorify me. Christ, talking about the Spirit, says the Spirit's job description, his role is to glorify, it is to exalt, it is to billboard, it is to put a spotlight on Jesus Christ. The Spirit is in the business of putting all the attention on Jesus Christ and what he has done. It's like when you walk into this room, right? None of us, I don't know. None of us walks in this room and it's like, oh man, look at that awesome spotlight. Like, I wonder how many lumens are in that spotlight. I wonder what the wattage, I don't even know if that's a word, what the wattage of that. I wonder who made the wires. I wonder, is it steel or aluminum? Some of y'all techie people are like, yeah, I actually did that when I walked into the room. Like, I wonder, look at that. Oh, man, I wonder where the light bulbs came from. Were they made here? What factory did they come from? No, because the role of that spotlight is to shine on my glossy head. Some of y'all have been talking about my glossy head while I've been standing up here. I know. A little greasy, it's all good, right? You don't walk in, you say, man, that spotlight is shining. Its role, its job is to take your attention and place it on something or someone. That's the role of the Holy Spirit according to Christ. He will glorify Jesus Christ. So when you see the Spirit, your attention is not long on the Spirit, for the job of the Spirit is to take your eyes and place them on Jesus Christ. Like, look at Christ. Look at how wonderful he is. Look at how beautiful he is. Look at how he takes all of your sin and he dies and he gets up from the grave like we just sung about. Look at how he prays for you. Look at how he intercedes on your behalf. Look at how he loves you. So the Spirit is doing his job, right? We're not concentrating on the Spirit, but the Spirit is constantly taking our focus and our attention and shining it on Jesus Christ. It's to glorify Christ. So, Bethel, this is why I'm weary of any place that claims to have an abundance of the Spirit's power with an absence of Christ's presence. I'm weary, because of John 16, of any person that speaks much of the Spirit but speaks very little of Jesus Christ. I'm weary of that. Why? Because Christ, the second person in the Trinity, tells us the role of the Spirit is to glorify him. I fear that sometimes we have an oversimplified view of the Holy Spirit. Like, yeah, we want the Spirit. You know, we sing songs like, Spirit, show up. We want the Spirit to kind of show up.
make us feel good and give us a little energy, maybe speak in a little tongues. But I fear that sometimes we think we can manipulate the Spirit's presence. I feel that sometimes we say, man, if we just turn down the spotlights just enough, if we just, you know, play the keys so softly in the background, if we just connect the right songs with the right songs, oh man, the Spirit is going to show up. But beloved, hear what Christ is saying. That the Spirit's role is to exalt Jesus Christ. This is why I love this quote. This quote says, it is the gospel. This interest in the truth, this concern for the centrality and the indispensability of Christ and his death that the Holy Spirit blesses. Beloved, Bethel, the Spirit is not a puppet to be manipulated. Christ is telling us what the Spirit loves, what he desires. So if you want the Spirit to show up and go bananas on Bethel University, you will exalt Jesus Christ. If you want the Spirit to show up and go bananas in your life, oh man, you will exalt Jesus Christ. You will seek hard after him, and you can be certain that that's a work of the Spirit in your life. It's constantly turning us, directing us back to Jesus Christ. And we get this in the very next book. You know, you turn to the book of Acts. Right, you get this, the working of the Spirit. And we love Acts chapter 2, right? We go to Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit shows up, and he lands on those brothers and sisters, and they start speaking in different languages. You remember that account in Acts chapter 2? But it's like we almost focus too much on that instead of what the Spirit was doing by allowing them to speak in different languages. For Acts says that in Acts chapter 2, we hear them telling in our own tongues what? The mighty works of God. The Spirit showed up and allowed them to speak in different languages, not so we can say, man, how awesome is that? We get to speak in different languages. Man, I didn't know that language before. How cool that I can speak in a different language. Now I know the Spirit is like, no. The reason why you're speaking in a different language is so that you can glorify God, his mighty works. And what are the mighty works of God? Peter preaches a long sermon directly following that. At his day of Pentecost, he preaches this sermon. And let me sum up, as Peter does, what his sermon is about. Peter says, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. And Peter ends his sermon in one of the most glorious ways. All these sinners are gathered around, all these people who wanted to crucify Jesus Christ, and yet Peter gives them good news. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That is the good works of God, that he would send his son, like the Spirit would show up and even twist our tongues in order to glorify Jesus Christ. That's a working of the Spirit. So to sum it all up, beloved, like, if you're asking for a work of the Spirit, what you are asking for is more of Jesus Christ. What you are asking for is to love and cherish Christ, to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So this is my prayer for you this week. This is my prayer for you, for the students, faculty, staff, for the rest of your lives. That indeed, you would say, Spirit, come. That indeed you will say, Spirit, work in my life. That indeed, Spirit, help me to walk step in step with you. But if you're asking that, beloved, what you're asking the Spirit to do is to take you right to Jesus Christ and adore him for all that he has done for you. Let's pray together. Indeed, Lord, I thank you for the Spirit. I thank you that Christ, when he ascended, sent, oh, this comforter, this encourager, this one who will indeed shine on you, this one who indeed would speak for Christ, this one who indeed will guide us into all truth. And we need that. We need truth because there are so many lies. In other words, we need Christ, Lord. We need him. So would you do it again, Spirit, by your power? Would you remind us? Would you continue to guide us and lead us to our beautiful Savior? For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.